is great. And, you know, I just hope, I look at it this way. I hope that what happens at the men's meeting doesn't stay at the men's meeting. I think if you haven't recognized that this has been all about image,
yes,
from the get-go, from the beginning, all about the image of Christ that he's trying to reflect through us, and we're the ones he's using. Don't ever tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor to be using us, to have chosen us to be here in the very last of the last of the last. He could have saved all the greats and all the great spiritual giants for the last day. He didn't. He reserved us. And says, look what I can do with nothing. Look what I can do with just you guys. Look what I can do with a bunch of nobodies. And watch what I can become in them. My goodness, it's just, you know, it's thrilling. We never would have orchestrated it this way. I can tell you the first thing Brother Paul's going to do is get up and complain about the schedule and the fact that he's got to preach tonight and all of that. There's so many things that we don't orchestrate, that we don't get a say in, that we don't have, you know, we don't have a choice about. And God has just ordained certain things. And you know what we want to do? In our heart, we want to be agreeable to that. Lord, just allow me to yield to that and to let the Holy Spirit have his way in our lives. What a great honor it is. You know, when you stop and think about it, what a great honor it is. You go home and you try to absorb some of these things and you know, let a few days go by and you begin to reflect on these things and listen to the sermons again. By the way, they're all being uploaded right now. So when you go to bed tonight, well, I think we'll have all of them so far up. He's given me the nod. We'll have them all uploaded onto the server there, so you can go listen to them again and send them to the folks that didn't get to come. Let's stand to our feet, Brother Paul. We're going to have him come. There's nobody I would rather end this day with than Brother Paul. And we've moved his assistant in. And so we'll just turn it over to him and just trust that the Lord will use him tonight to speak to us after such a full day. Brother Paul.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Oh, you don't need that.
Thank you so much. I was going to sing after, but we can sing something before. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Key of F.
Oh, Lord. You're beautiful.
Your face
is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds.
Praise God. Me one more time.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful, and your face is all I see.
Yes, Lord.
For when
praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for his grace, for what he's speaking to us, things he has done. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I've just enjoyed myself so much, and we're so blessed, and just to see what God is doing, and I will complain about the schedule. I think I've earned a place at the table to complain, and I just think that Brother Sam should have just been given the rest of this night and let him continue on, because that was awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
To hear more about the image of God, image of Christ, and it's one thing I've learned through the years in pastoring and dealing with people and speaking and preaching and these different things. I have learned that an image is more powerful upon the people than words. You can speak a lot of things, but what you're speaking, if you can see images of it in the congregation, it has a great effect, especially upon the children and the young people. Because they don't just need to hear what we're supposed to be done, hear the Word of God, and hear what how husbands are supposed to be and fathers. But if they can see true images of good fathers in the church, that'll have more powerful effect on their lives.
Yes.
Amen. It's just been a wonderful time. And yeah, I just wanted to complain. I think things could have been rearranged as far as me being a part of this. Here I got the very last night here after all this great, wonderful preaching today. And so, you know, everybody's probably tired and all of that.
No,
so I'm just beginning to wonder if that's why Brother Barry put me here, to keep it short. Because if everybody gets tired and falls asleep, then he knows I'll just end it quick. But he's the boss. He's the boss. Amen? He's the boss. Brother Barry's the boss of this retreat, and he... I appreciate him, and I appreciate his gifts of putting this together and all his team. And he's very gifted in ministry. Amen. We appreciate it. He's the chief and he's the boss, so we better do what he says. He has so many gifts and things that God has given him, so we're thankful for that. I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Philippians 3, and I'll just make a quick... There's not much time for remarks, of course, but... I quickly mentioned to you out on the table there, there's a little report we're sending out next week of something that we're involved in. You're welcome to take a copy before it goes out next week. It's what we're involved in, and the goal to finish the message in Spanish. And we're on a course, the Lord willing, with our translators that we've hired the last 3 or 4 years. We should be able to, by the grace of God, finish the entire message in Spanish by next year, fall of next year. That's if the rapture don't take place, of course, but we're just happy about the way it's going, and in that you'll see our translators and some testimonies from them. You're welcome to pick one of those up. I'd also like to just say that I appreciate the brothers from our church. If you just lift your hands, brothers, the brothers that's come from Literal Life, raise your hands, Brother Rapp, and different ones. We appreciate their contribution to the meetings. And there's a couple of brothers here that are assistants to me. Brother Brandon and Brother Jared are with me. And they are, I just want to thank God for men who stand with you as support ministries and support brothers. And they're here, and we're glad to be able to spend this weekend together. But I appreciate that. Not too many men have that kind of loyal support. And I just want to praise it when you have it. Brother Jared and Brother Brandon have been a real help to me, particularly the last year. We've had kind of a little bit of rough year at the church. Me personally, I had a death threat on my life last year, and for the stand of the word that we took, and different things happened that I never had happened before in my life quite that way. And to have support of brothers like this has just helped us to get through, and we appreciate them very much. Also like to say appreciate Brother Steve Brisson. Being with us, I haven't had a chance to talk to him much yet, but Brother Steve was instrumental, and he was at my daughter's wedding this past summer, and he was instrumental in helping him and his wife, helping my daughter a couple years ago through a difficult time. Pastors' children sometimes have a difficult role and difficult time sometimes, and I just want to say, Brother Steve, we appreciate you and being instrumental in their life, her life in particular, to be able to help her and just to give her strength and being a counsel to her and a help in her life. We just appreciate that so much. Amen. We're going to read tonight from Philippians chapter 3. And I feel like, boy, this room was so small. There's times I felt like some of this revelation and things coming this today and last night and yesterday, I just felt like I hardly could sit in my seat. I don't know if anybody else felt that way. I was sitting there saying, is this room big enough for me to run? Because I felt like running. I really did. It's been so, so good, and we appreciate it. But we don't want you to blow off all that steam and running and shouting. We want you to take it home. Can you say amen? And put it into a life every day. And that's what we're praying for God to do for sure. So we appreciate what the Lord has done in our lives. And, you know, before we speak, I just wanted to say that the battles and the struggles and the storms keep getting more frequent. In nature, we see that there's chaotic things happening in the natural, and they're more frequent taking place. And that's a reflection of our lives as well. There's more storms coming.
Yep, sure.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
But God's given us what we need to go through the storms. And I was reading the front cover of Time magazine just a couple weeks ago. They had it in the front cover. It said, the storms keep getting stronger, but so do we. I thought that was good.
Sure.
The storms keep getting stronger, but so do we. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11. Let's read together. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, Lord, we just want to say how we just are cherishing, Lord, the way that you're speaking to us these last couple days. Lord God, I just pray that you will continue to crystallize these things and make them so real in our hearts, Lord. God, we feel humbled to be here. I was thinking today, Father, and you know my thoughts. I was thinking how privileged I felt, Lord, just to be a part of this. And I was feeling, Lord, all of the brothers in this message should hear these things. And Lord, even in many in my church that couldn't come, Lord, but they need to be here hearing it, Lord. So I feel privileged to be here. But I pray, Lord, we can take the things home with us, Lord, and be able to live those things and preach those things, Lord. And God, we feel very counted, just worthy that you called us to be here. And we appreciate the chance to be able to speak to our brothers here as well. We pray you'll just anoint us and give us the right words to encourage them tonight. And we ask it in your precious name. Amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Brothers, here's a passage here that, of course, has been spoken on many times, I'm sure. But I want to dwell on it just a bit. And there's so many subjects. When I get asked to speak at the men's meeting, there's just hundreds of subjects that flood for the opportunity to speak directly to brothers like this. And there's many things that could be covered, of course. And there's many things that's already been covered. Don't go home and say, well, nothing. I don't think my specific thing was addressed. If you're really listening and praying, there's a lot of things being addressed in these meetings. A lot of things being addressed. And that's why you have to go back and listen again, because God's really speaking some good things to us. But, you know, there was many things that we had pondered and prayed about, but God kept bringing me back to this scripture in this section. And this may be very simple tonight, pulling from this subject of Paul saying that one thing I do, forgetting those things which are in the past. But I just believe I have to mind the Lord, and I want to just speak on these things simply tonight. I trust it'll be a blessing to you and kind of a capping for the day. And I believe that what he said here is important. So I want to just read this through this again. As he says, if I by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And now, I just wanted to read this, and I think Brother Aaron's going to help me there and put the quotes up, because I'm technically challenged, and I'll let him do that. I wanted to read this set of scriptures out of the Amplified. It says, not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, and we've heard a lot about maturity.
Yes, sir.
Mature sons of God. All of us who are mature and pursuing spiritual perfection should have this attitude. You know, when Paul here speaks of the goal of a believer, it's the entire goal of a believer to come to this Christ-likeness and to come to this mystery being fulfilled. It is, of course, in harmony with the message, because the same God that spoke this through Paul is the same God that spoke through our prophet in this hour. And we understand what the high calling of Christ is. It speaks of the manifested sons of God. It speaks of adoption. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This prize is the mystery of Christ. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so the goal is that the mystery be finished in His people. We men are goal-oriented, and we're men of vision, and we like to accomplish things, and we like to pursue things, whether it be hunting or golf or whatever it is that we might do. We like to accomplish things naturally sometimes. We like a goal. We like to shoot for something. We like to accomplish things as men. We also like to do things for the kingdom of God. We like to help out and build churches and do the things that we do for the local church and for churches abroad. But this goal, brothers, Paul speaks of, this goal should trump every other ambition in our life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You may have gifts and you may have callings, but Paul calls this the high calling. This is the prize that Paul preaches that we reach, it'll be the climax of our life, and that it'll be the great ambition of our life. And Paul says, I haven't attained to it yet. And Paul says, I'm reaching for that. I haven't come to perfection, but I'm reaching for this high calling. And Paul said, I haven't attained that. And what Paul is speaking of course, it reaches its climax and it reaches its completion during the day that we live in. What Paul was talking about, this mystery being completed, actually is completed in this hour. Praise the Lord. How many believe that? I believe that it's completed in the day we live in, and we see that Paul was speaking about it, but in the last days is when God is finishing this, and the people will finally seize this prize and truly will take a hold of it. I'd say if the book of redemption has been unsealed to us, I'd say if our inheritance has been revealed to us, as we've heard the last couple days, then I'd say it's time for us to take a hold of it. It's the time. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So when Paul speaks here, and I read it in the Amplified because it just amplifies it a little bit more. He speaks and he says, we're trying to apprehend something. We're trying to take hold of this prize. We're trying to take a hold of this. And so we're trying to take a hold of this, what God is our destiny and what God's going to bring in us. And the potential is within us by predestination. You know, Brother Brown said, predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks ahead to destiny. And so we apprehend it. Paul says, the same as we have been apprehended of the Lord. He says, He actually apprehended us. So we're apprehending Him and this inheritance and this mystery, but we have been apprehended. How many has been apprehended of the Lord?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I've been taken a hold of by the Lord. He apprehended me. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
He pursued you. And the reason that He pursued you is because you were His son.
Right.
Think of this though. If He would have had all of your past in mind as He pursued you, He might have hesitated. But He was driven by something greater and stronger than your past. So now that's how He apprehended you. That's how He pursued you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
His thought, can you say amen, is what He was being driven by.
Yes, sir.
Not your past. If it had been your past, if it had been everything that you have in your flesh and all that old man has done, whatever it is, then He would not have pursued you. But there was something stronger than your past.
Amen.
And if we've heard anything, we've heard that. We're not depending on what this man can do. We're depending on what the inner man and what He's doing within us.
Amen.
And we're connecting and being reconciled with the thought of God that He had of us before the foundation of the world.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And that's why He pursued us. And He pursued us without our past. If He would have pursued us that way, He may have hesitated. But there's something stronger than our past. And what's stronger than our past is our predestinated future. I know that may seem simple to you, but I'm just talking here. He pursued me so I could pursue Him. Can you say amen? He took a hold of me, so now I am taking a hold of Him. But what He was driven by was not my past. He was driven by that thought of God that He had. And so now when we apprehend Him, we must be driven by the same thing. Our taking a hold of Him cannot have the past in mind. are taking hold of Him must have that revelation of who we are as a son. And that must be our motive for taking hold of Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we're apprehending, we're taking hold of this goal. And it's His Christ-likeness. And Paul, I believe here when he speaks, I think he knows that it's God's grace in all of this. It's God's grace. And that he's pressing, and he said, I press toward the mark of the high calling. And he understands that the grace of the Lord is what gives him faith to be able to do that. I believe Paul understands all that. But, you know, and we've heard about how God, in this weekend, we've heard how God gives us the faith. And it's tapping into the revelation that God wants to give us. And when we tap into that revelation, then we receive the strength to be able to pursue Him. And so sometimes it's not our obedience, but it's these different things. But I want you to notice something Paul says here. And him knowing that it takes the grace of God, him having a revelation that he is a son of God, knowing his destiny by revelation, he still says, but brothers, this one thing that I do in my pursuit of Him, in my pursuit of the goal, this one thing that I do. So there is something that we do. If Paul had to do something, we have to do something. And he said, brothers, I have a revelation of who I am. I have a revelation I'm a son of God. I know I'm predestinated to this destiny. But this one thing I must do, I must forget those things which are behind. I must forget those things which are behind in order to press towards this mark of the high calling. I must forget those things which are behind. I know that in saying that, we've heard it so many times, we can quickly just say, oh yes, oh, okay, we forget our past. But tonight, I'd just like to take a couple minutes and just ponder what he means here, because this thing that he says of forgetting the past, I believe is more significant than what we realize. And I think the past has more power in our lives than what we realize. I think that's why this isn't some mental exercise that Paul's bringing up here. Because I'll say to you, I believe Paul not only has a revelation of the power of God in his life and that he is the Son of God, but he also has a revelation of how powerful the past is and how the enemy can use that in order to keep him from reaching his goal. So it's not just a mental exercise of forgetting the past. We need a revelation of how powerful the past is. We can skip over this so easy, but we have to look at it closer. And I believe forgetting the past is more of a challenge than meets the eye. And I just want to find out tonight if we can. If Paul doesn't do this, he can't reach the goal. He can't get to the goal. And so he says there's one thing that we must do. And he says there's one thing that would possibly hinder a believer and hinder a brother. And that is that the past can have a power to it that can hold us up and keep us from truly apprehending this the way we want to. There's a power that holds us up, and that's the past. And so in my experience in watching believers, not only my own life, but other believers, the past, many times, is what keeps people from full victory. If a pastor is truly called and he sees the vision and destiny of the people in the Word of God, that's what he's standing there for every service. He's preaching their destiny. Can you say amen? I love the instruction that's been given to even ministers. We're not supposed to get up and speak our own complexes and speak our own agenda or put a following to ourselves. Thank God in the message we're seeing ministers and just purging all that from our lives. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
May God bring that more and more in the ministry.
Yes, sir.
Because we're up here to be able to put before the people and reconcile the people to that thought of them before the beginning.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
But in my observation and watching, that may be our desire to preach that. That may be your desire tonight to apprehend this goal. Can you say amen? But in me looking at people's lives, the past, many times, is what can keep the people from full victory. I want you to notice something here in the manner of the Holy Spirit and how he deals with us. And many times we can pick that up in the prayer lines of Brother Branham as we read them. I love to read them because we watch the manner of the Holy Spirit, how he dealt with human beings. We can learn so much from it. And I was reading through some prayer lines, and the prophet says quite often, he said, if I said, he says it different ways, but he says, if I said your future, he said, if I said you're going to be healed, you could doubt that. He said, in the future, you're going to be healed. If I just said that, you could doubt that. He says, if I said it, you could doubt it. But if you told your past, if I told you your past and that was true, then the same one who told me your past can tell me your future.
Amen.
So we're not dealing with intellect here, can you say amen? We're dealing with a God who knows all things. And so, as Brother Branham expresses that, of course, there's a couple of quotes that he brings it, but we see that he's trying to teach us something here that this has to do with God. This is God who knows your past, God who knows your future, God who knows your destiny. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And the same God that knows all about your past and not only forgives but washes in the sea of forgetfulness, the same God that has that power to do that is the same God who knows your future. And so we develop trust in that because he knows all things. Can you say amen?
Amen?
If he told you your past and it's true, then the same one who told me your past can tell me your future. And so you have trust in one who knows your past. People hesitate in believing sometimes. People are caught in their past. And many of these people in the prayer line, that's what they're caught in. They're caught in the web of what a doctor has said to them. They're caught in the web of something that happened in their past. Maybe they've had a disease all of their life and they don't have enough faith to believe. That's all they've ever known is what the past is. And the prophet is standing there and he's saying what they're telling them what the doctor said. But he's also looking and looking what happened just a few minutes later or down the road later. Can you say amen? And it develops a trust, can you say amen? A trust in our destiny to know that the same God that knows our past knows our future.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. People get caught in the past. They don't trust the future. But when they come into his presence, he makes that scary transition. He helped the people make that scary transition from the past to the future. Because it's scary for some people. The devil has them bound. We're not going to talk about the prayer lines tonight. I want to talk about some other things. But I'm just using this as a base to talk about, to recognize that people are scared to make that transition from their past to their future. And no human mind can do that properly. God, only God, can help a person properly make that transition to believing their destiny and rising in faith to believe it. But people were so used to the past, they were so ingrained in their sickness and they were so ingrained in their depression and oppression. And their mindset could only see the symptoms, the past symptoms. He says it this way in this couple quotes here. Now you leave from here. If God could reveal to me what your past life has been, I don't remember just now what it is. It's a vision, you see. And if he could tell you what you've been in your past life, won't he know what will be in your future life? If he could let me know, won't he let me know what will be? If you can go from here tonight in a happy, rejoicing spirit and thank God and just be happy and throw the thing away, you're going to get all right. And how could I overcome? He says, that's what I told her brother just here that had the breakdown. See, just yield to him. He's here. He who knowed what you have done and what caused your being and doing this way and all of that, he knows all about you. And now he just told you back just what to do. Now I said the only thing you have to do is just go do it. That is, forget all about the past. Walk, live for the future. In the glory and the presence of God. Christ is there and he's helping the human being make the scary transition. Because if the devil has them bound there, a lot of people, they can't make that transition on their own. It takes God.
Amen.
Sitting here tonight, brothers. No matter how much we've enjoyed this, Satan can use one thing in your past.
Yes, sir.
And that one thing can hold you there from fully being able to seize these promises that we've earned. But I can tell you there's a God here that can help you make the transition. And He wants to help you in the see what the past is and forget and get past that, past your past, and live. I like how He words it, live for the future. Now, I've got to slow down here and just take my time for a minute.
Yes, sir. Come on, breathe, brother.
There's a power that goes with your past.
All right.
And don't forget, Satan is one who dwells in your past. God dwells in the present and in your destiny. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to understand these things. But Satan's realm is to dwell in your past and to take whatever is in that. And to that's why there's a power to it, because Satan uses his power to use the past to keep believers. You know, Satan's not here to fight against unbelievers.
Right.
He's here to fight against sons of God.
Right.
He's here to keep sons of God away from their inheritance. We've heard it so well this weekend. I can't say it any better the way the brothers have said it, but we're hearing our inheritance. It's right before us. Can you say amen? It's attainable. Can you say amen? This is the hour for it. But you have an enemy that his agenda is to keep you from that. And so, you know, I want to look at this because we often think of our past as past sins. But the past is not just past sins. The past can be many things. The past can be your past understanding of the Word. Can you say amen?
Amen?
He can hold people there. He can have people living in the past and they're standing there, but they're still living in the past. They're still living in their former understanding. One of the brothers mentioned the frog. The frog is always looking back, and that's Satan's way. He's always got a person looking back. That's Satan's manner that he deals in, is looking back and looking back. But you see, God, He works in the present. He works in your destiny. He works in your future. Even God's correction has your future in mind.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yes,
oh, sons of God should say, Lord, exhort me, correct me, because every time He brings a correction, He has your destiny in mind. He's not doing it just to correct you. Can you say amen? He's trying to get you to your promise. Praise be to God. So God dwells in that. And so there's a power that goes with your future. We'll talk about that in a minute. But our past is given such a power sometimes. In people's life, it begins to dictate believers' lives. Their past dictates their life. Their past dictates their decisions they're making.
Come on now. Good.
Their past and all of the belief system that goes with it and everything that's happened, it has such a power to it that it's dictating more of their life than what they realize. And if we've learned anything, we want to be led as sons of God by the Spirit of God, not be dictated by our own flesh. Can you say amen? But we want to be truly led by the Holy Spirit and what He has to bring for us and teach us. And so the past can be dictating someone's life. And we read most people in most situations through the eyes of our past. When we look at a situation that comes up, some people never get a chance for their future sometimes because they're always looking through the eyes of the past. We tend to read people, other people as well, through the eyes of our past. Has a power over our lives.
Sure.
If God doesn't read us that way, then we shouldn't read others that way.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like that every brother and sister in the church, every brother, and we looked at one another that way, the way God looks at each of us?
Yes.
That when He looks at us, He doesn't have our past in mind at all. He has our future.
Amen.
We should look at one another that way. You should look at your wife that way.
Amen.
That's the greatest challenge, is when a marriage, you know each other so well. Too well. And you know each other, but Satan, that's what Satan, he brings a carnality in there, is that you've got their whole history there. And so a lot of times if you get real carnal, then the guns come out and you use something from their past and you judge them from their past. You judge that wife from her past. You don't like to be judged that way. God doesn't judge you that way. And yet for your children or for your wife, sometimes you do that. So you're viewing them through the eyes of their past and viewing yourself sometimes through the eyes of your past. And so in child rearing, our kids sometimes bear the brunt of so much of when we come in to be young parents, then, you know, they bear such a brunt of people. They have such a history and they've watched their home and they come. Everybody has a history. They come from a certain home, how the parents did things. And so we see the bad things that the parents did. We see all of our past in that. And so now when we come with children, now we've got an agenda. We're going to have the perfect family. And so we're taking all of that and we're taking all that past. Now I'm not going to, and we tend to go to extremes with it. And so I'm going to form something now in this child. It's terrible for our children. It really is. Sure. It's bad news. Because we're not operating by the Spirit of God.
Right.
We're operating by all of our past that brings us to extremes.
Come on.
And our children become the guinea pigs for it. Especially our firstborns.
That's good.
I did it. I'm guilty of it. Because you want, now I'm going to, I can't stand all that happened. I can't stand how my dad or mom raised me that way. That was the bad part of it. And I am never doing that. I'm never going to do that. So now we come and we're going to create our own little world here. And so, but we're not doing it by the word or by the presence of God or by the character of God. We're doing it from our past. We're going to change everything that was wrong in our past. We're going to change it all through our children. And that's just not fair to them.
No, sir. No, sir.
That's just not fair to them. People have been hurt sometimes. I minister to a lot of people, and I'm sure other pastors here. But for me, I've had so many that have come to the church, and I minister to a lot of people who have been hurt from past message situations. And I hate to even use the term message because it brings a bad name in the message. That's not the real message. Those things that happen are not the real message. The message is what God gave us and sent from His throne. But in the movement of it, in different situations, people come from different pastors and different churches. Very hurtful situations. As a matter of fact, it surprises me. It astounds me what takes place under the name of the message sometimes. And they come from hurtful situations, and it's really bad, and you're trying to minister to them. But what I find sometimes that takes place is that you get on a certain subject, and so those subjects or the way that you're bringing it triggers everything from their past. So now they lock up on you. Now they don't trust you. Because you see, now they're not looking to what God has for them now and for the future and what God's doing now. They're still being influenced under the power of their past. So you say things and, you know, you hardly can win sometimes with people. Sometimes I want to say, hey, listen, I'm not your old pastor. You know, I'm the new guy that God's put in your life. I'm the new guy that's to help you get past your past. And can you say amen? And to restore faith in what this message really is.
Amen.
You see, this happened in our church through the years in history. Satan, you know, years ago, Satan really got amongst some of our young girls. And you know, a lot of hurtful things took place in their young teen years. And so then later, as you go later on in the church, you see painful fallouts happen from that and painful fallouts now. But you see then when something comes up later that resembles it, it brings it all back. It surfaces and they can't enjoy one another. They can't have relationship with one another because all the past is having the power over the unity now. They can't get over those things. I'm trying to give you my examples of the power of the past. And I'm talking in believers' lives. Saints of God can't enjoy one another. They can't have close relationships. Because Satan just works in this realm of what's happened before. And it just keeps them there. And they read everything from before. And so it keeps them from the unity they should have with one another. It keeps them from relationship. They can't get over these things. It's caused a hold on them. They can't enjoy one another. The power of the past binds up the potentials of what can happen. How many believe this bride has the potentials of Christ?
Amen.
Oh yeah, that's what Brother Bram says. All those potentials lie within us already. But you see, we have to get those potentials out to manifest themselves. And I'd say the past is, it has a great power to keep those things and those potentials from coming out. Not only the girls in the church, and not only these situations, but you know, every church can have a history. Every church can have a past. And a church can never come to the potentials and what God has for them. It can't come to the future of that assembly when the past is what they live in. You see transitions taking place from one pastor that passes on to another one. And sometimes somebody will go in there and they'll try to take that over. But if they're bound by the whole past, they can never move on with what God has for them. So they have to really pray and say, lead this church by the Holy Ghost. Truly by the Holy Ghost. Because they can't move on without it. People withdraw themselves, and many times it's all based upon the past. There's no forgiveness. People are afraid of the future of their lives because they're viewing. Let me just skip some of this now and just move on, because I have some things I want to get to. But you see, people are trying to apprehend Christ, but they won't let the past go. They refuse to release it. It took me a while to figure out in my own church, people who react to certain principles in the word that I preach, or a certain order that I set for the church based on the word of God. I'll set a certain order and I get a reaction from people. And they're supposed to believe the word of God and respect that order, but a sense of reaction. For years I wondered, why are they reacting that way? And I discovered many times they're reacting from something that happened in the past, a belief system. The past teaching and the mindset is still dominating and interpreting the current situation. Men who have a background in the union sometimes are the worst at trying to follow administrative decisions. Just something I've learned. Because they've been taught never to trust those in management. Whatever decisions come from the top, it's not good ones for you. So don't trust it. Don't follow it. Buck up against it. Get together a committee. Yet the pastor is supposed to set the order for the church. Can you say amen? Based upon the word of God. So I have to have a grace. They're not rejecting the word, but they're filtering what's being done through their past belief system. Anybody on board here with me tonight? Just things that I've learned. And so you have to have a grace for that. And you realize you're working not only with people, of course, that are in the flesh, but of people who have a past belief system that they need to die out to those things. So you're working with them and showing them and nurturing them. Can you say amen? But we as men need to have an understanding of this. Not just if we pastor a church, but for our families, for our lives, for people that we deal with. Can you say amen? We have to realize that if they're filtering that through there, that's why they're reacting the way they are. But I believe the power of God is more powerful than our past. But a former belief system is a stronger influence sometimes than they give the word in their lives. Now, last week I was at a seminar. My wife and I had to attend this seminar. And it was, we have a small business. And It's run by a lot of the managers we have, so we don't have to participate in it a lot, but we own it. And so sometimes we have to attend these. My wife drags me along to some of these seminars so we can learn some things about business. And so please don't judge me that I was at a seminar.
Come on now.
But I was sitting in this seminar, and because I had to, I really go for the lunch is what I go for. Don't tell my wife that. But I was sitting there and I really had these meetings on my mind. You know what? I was just praying and trying to listen in a little bit. But it was about emotional IQ, I think it was. So they're going on with some of these things. And a lot of it's, of course, psychology. And I just say something about psychology that I think when Brother Brown spoke against that, I think it's because psychology never has the answer for the human being. I tell you, some of these guys can peg a human being pretty good. Nobody can peg a human being like God can. God, the great psychologist. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And that's what you see in those prayer lines. God, the great psychologist, he knows a human being. He knows the real problem. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So I am not against some of those things because sometimes they diagnose them right. What I'm against is what they always point to. And without the Holy Ghost, you'll never overcome anything properly. I do believe that. But they were saying, this lady was saying, the limbic system, he's talking about the two parts of the brain. And most of you probably know this. I didn't know it quite this way, so that's why I'm bringing it. The limbic system is the not conscious part of the brain where all of your beliefs, talking about two parts of the brain now, the limbic system part of your brain is the non-conscious part of the brain where all of your beliefs and habits are stored. It controls your feelings and heavily influences your behavior. It also interprets sensory information and dispatches it to the cortex. And the cortex, of course, is the conscious part of the brain that hears what you're thinking and can intellectually control behavior for processing. But I want to go back to this limbic system because when I heard that it actually not just stores information, it controls your feelings, heavily influences your behavior. It also interprets sensory information and dispatches it to the cortex. When I seen that in terms, I thought, wow. And I just start to write stuff down during the seminar, and I was just writing some things, and they went on and on. They were talking, and I thought, isn't that amazing? That's what I see as someone's past, is they have a certain belief system that's lodged in there. It's stored in there, can you say amen? And it's interpreting even what they're hearing of the words sometimes in the subconscious. It's interpreting. Listen, we only need one interpreter of the word, and that's God. Praise the Lord. God does not need you to interpret any of this message or any of this word. He wants you to believe it and leave it alone the way that it is. And certainly don't bring it through your mind to interpret it. So the cortex is a conscious part that of the... Let's just skip past that. Okay, that's enough psychology right there. I begin to apply this then to people's lives and ask this. I just asked this question. I wrote it down. How much are we still functioning from these half-truths and these beliefs that are stored from our past? The lady says next, she says, you know, you're fully capable of retraining the brain. And I write down, no, we're not. We're not capable of that. But I thought of Romans 12. There is a power that can retrain the brain. Can you say amen? And I want us to read it together. The brother already quoted, I believe. Get your Bible and read it. Romans chapter 12. Let me just grab this scripture here. And it says, very familiar to us, but I want us to read it. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The text Brother Branham took in Power of Transformation. The power of transformation. Now, when Brother Branham preaches that, we understand the whole principle that there's power within the seed. Can you say amen? And when the light comes in the seed, it transforms itself into a son and daughter of God, whatever the seed is. We understand that. But there's something here we must not miss in the scripture, and that is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by how? By the renewing of your mind. So even though God's doing this by His power, you're under the power of transformation when you're yielding your thoughts to God and allowing your thoughts to be purged, can you say amen? And renewed to God's thoughts. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I don't like to stop there. Verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Isn't it interesting that he speaks about this renewing of the mind and be the power of transformation, transforming by how? The renewing of our mind. But the next scripture is how much humility we have to do that. Because nobody is going to submit themselves to allowing their thoughts to be changed and transformed and renewed unless they have true humility. Is there a man that thinks more highly of himself than he ought to think? Then he does not have the humility to be able to be transformed. This may not have been what you wanted to hear tonight, but it's what the Lord told me to say. Praise the Lord. So we could go on and on about that, but I believe it's been mentioned some here too that, you know, we as sons of God, we need true humility in our lives. One of the ways that we know how that we're being humble before Him is we can humble our thoughts to say, Lord, I want your thought.
Amen.
Brother Bram says, sons of God no longer want their own choice.
Amen.
Why? Because we've been alone all these years and we know what our own choice gets. From the garden all the way on. So now we've come to a time and an age when mature sons are actually saying, Lord, I no longer want my own choice. I want your choice. That's mature sons. And that's humility. We can talk about humility and people, how they dress and all these other things. To me, humility is when a man doesn't think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And we come in one mind, and there's only one mind that thought perfect thoughts from the very beginning. When he thought it, it was perfect. His first thought was his perfect thought, and that wasn't you, that was God. But people think just because they thought it, then it's gospel. But that's stinking Roman's mind. Can you say amen? Every other preacher has mentioned Brother Donnie's stinking Roman, so I might as well mention it as well. Kind of set the pace for the whole meetings, didn't it? So here is the way out of our past. Humility to let every former thought be challenged by the Word of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought must be checked. No thought must be left alone to itself. Every thought that comes through this should be checked by the Word of God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above this revelation of God. So what the Word says, can you say amen? I was sitting there, I was still thinking of the early years in the message. You know, I grew up in this message and received the Holy Ghost when I was 16. But you watch many things in the message and you watch many things take place. And I was asking the question, why was there such emphasis on the early years of this message? Why was there such emphasis on certain things in the message? There were certain things and certain quotes emphasized, really emphasized, but the rest was kind of left alone. I said, why was that? What why did we have so much of that where so much of just certain things were preached and particularly, you know, like in a lot of places, the message back then, when I was a kid, in a lot of realms, the message was basically don't chew gum in church. Or women's dress. Or women's hair. That was a lot of the sermons. Or a woman being under subjection.
Come on now.
Oh man, have we heard a lot? We heard a lot when I was a kid. There was a lot on that. We got to get these women in order. And God gave us this message to get them in order. Praise God. I want to tell you, brother, that's not why God sent the message. That's not the whole reason. Or Christmas trees. I shouldn't have got on that. I should have done that. But you know, this is the thing. And there were extremes in certain things. A lot of you that's grown up in the message, you know that. You say in the early years, we're hearing the Word at a level now. I tell you, I stand in awe.
Yeah.
I don't even want to be standing up here preaching. I tell you, the brothers that are coming through my church, the new generation of ministers that are coming through, and even our older brother today, a Caleb. Can you say amen? A Caleb. I'm telling you, I appreciate him so much. But I tell you, the level that we're hearing the word at today, the whole counsel of God, can you say amen? But in the early days of the message, it wasn't that way. And so you're hearing certain things in extremes and extreme ideas. And every word that he said is thus saith the Lord. Every little dot, dot, dot is thus saith the Lord. Man, it's quiet in here. Why do people say that? Now, I believe this prophet brought thus saith the Lord. No one else brought it but this prophet of this age. You won't find it in any other book, can you say amen? But I can safely say, because of what Brother Branham said, that every word he said was not thus saith the Lord. He cares, do you care, at the beginning, because I know you're saying, well, you better give me a quote for that, Brother Paul. At the beginning, they said, now, did you say, Brother Branham, that Martin Luther King's going to lead so many souls? And right at the beginning, he cares, you care, you can find, he says, now, he says, I want you to be careful now. He said, now, so much of this is just human. Oh, man. I might have to make a dart out of this room. So much of this is just human. But he says, if it comes thus saith the Lord, then you'll know it. Now, just so I don't make you nervous, I value every word of this message. I value Brother Branham's opinions even above mine. That's the way I've lived my life. Because I trust what God did through him. People today are resenting that and all these other things. And people are scared when I say, not every word is thus saith the Lord, because they say people are going to take, and that's what they do, carnally with no Holy Ghost. Now they say, okay, I'm going to go in now and I'm going to choose what's thus saith the Lord and what's not thus saith the Lord. And you're going to have that happen no matter what happens. Can you say amen? But we don't take an extreme doctrine to say every little dot is thus saith the Lord, when Brother Branham didn't say that. Can I get an amen? That's right. So, you know, these extreme thoughts develop. I believe he brought, thus saith the Lord. But I value his opinions above my own opinions. I've lived by those things. I think the closest man to the Lord in the 20th century was William Branham. How many believe that? Closest man to the Lord in the 20th century was William Branham. And so I can trust what God did through him. I can trust his growth. As Brother Sam was reading, the growth in his life as a son of God, as he struggled with those things, can you say amen? And even said, Lord, I don't want to do that again. And he did it again. I love to hear all of that. Because you have the human side growing in the Lord as a son of God, just like I got to grow as a son. But we don't want to lose the value of what God brought us. And that's why we're scared to talk about that. But you see, we have to be careful of extremes, can you say amen? Because then it begins to build an idolatry out of a man and take the human side away from him. And there's ministers here much more capable of breaking that down than me. I guarantee you that. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I remember the first time I went to Honduras talking about these things of the message. And first time I went to Honduras 30 years ago, and they had a youth camp, and God did some great things. But they had a questions and answers. And one of the main questions was, I had the young people sitting there, and I had all the ministers sitting there, and they wanted to ask, is it right for the young people to play volleyball? So you got all the old ministers there. I'm just a young buck, you know. And you got all the young people, and they're, you know, they're wanting to hear from me. I got all the old ministers that have told them for years, no, it's wrong in the message for you to play volleyball. And they couldn't do it. And the young people are just, you know, wondering what's going on. So it's a very challenging. And here's how I answer. How many want to know how I answered it? Here's the question. Is it wrong for the young people to play sports? It was all sports, actually. Is it wrong for the young people to play sports and volleyball? And I answered this way. I said, well, brothers, I said, hunting is a sport. And that's where I began. I talked a little bit about Brother Branham playing baseball when he was young. And the boxing and a few things like that. And And I wasn't trying to create a new sport doctrine, that's for sure. But it was a reflection of the imbalances. Can you say amen? So people come already with certain... Here's the thing. First of all, I think the reason we had that in the early years of the message, because we had a lack of more of the message. We needed more of it. But that's not the greatest reason. The second reason is people already come in to the message with certain beliefs. And they take that belief system and then they mix it with the message. And also the human being, we tend to take the word and only emphasize scriptures that lean towards our nature or our personality. And we don't quote the other ones very much, but the ones that lean towards more our personality, we tend to lean towards those scriptures more. And people mix their beliefs as they mix it in. You know, there was Pentecostal brothers that come in sometimes that I'd listen, and over the years I'd listen to them preach, and I was only hearing certain quotes out of the message that endorsed their Pentecostal background. But I never heard the other ones. And as I began to feed on the Word, I thought, wow, they're not reading all of them. They're only reading the ones that work up an emotion like they did in Pentecost. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, I just want to remind you too, Brother Branham said there, the seventh seal is the same as us as the seventh trumpet to Israel, to bring us out of Pentecostal and world traditions. So I want you to notice, this message is not to be mixed with anything previous. Even though it's a restoration of the Word, when God brought it, He doesn't need anybody, any denomination, or need you to mix any thought with it. It needs to be left alone to itself. So it can bring forth what it was meant to bring forth. Can you say amen? The purpose right now is for Him to get the preeminence, the second fold of His threefold purpose. And there's no way for Him to get that until we die to all our former thoughts, all our locked-in thoughts, all of our beliefs, to where it's only His thoughts. I could say a lot more about the early years in the message, but we're maturing. We're a different place now. Can you say amen? We thank God for those early years, and I'm not knocking them at all. But I say there was a growth in the bride of Jesus Christ. And the emphasis, for me as a pastor, I want to preach and get out of the way so much that there's such a power of God there, to, as Brother Tim said, to reconcile that young girl with God, and when she catches who she is in God, then that begins to work from the inside out to change her dress and to change her hair. Now, I got to preach on things sometimes. I got to mention it. But I don't take sermon after sermon on dress. Can you say, man, that's not what we do. Because we're looking for something deeper in them. Amen. To change them. And let God do that work. Have I said enough? I guess I have, about the power of the past. It's not just your past sins, but it's your belief system. You brought from your family childhood, from your family you grew up in. You're a believer sitting here with the Holy Ghost, but I can tell you that you bring baggage from all of that, and you believe belief systems, and you have certain things and mentalities and ways you look at things. And they're all fine, except if they are contrary to this Word He's given us. So there can be a power that goes with your past, but I want to say to you tonight, there's a power that is in our future. It's not just talking about the future tonight, but there's a power that's come from God to actually put us to our destiny. And we come under the power of our future like no other people in any other past generation. I believe the message has brought the truth to the people of God and to the bride of Christ like no other people. That we are coming under the power of redemption. And we've come under the power of what our future is. We understand what our future is like no other people has ever understood it before. And this brings the revelation and the power. Can you say amen? See, when the bride begins to catch that really by revelation, that actually becomes the power over your past. Praise the Lord. We learn that Christ is forgiveness of our past, whatever it is. We learn that we're justified, which means just as if we never did in the first place. We learn that it's a clearing of all sin. We've been declared in court completely free and completely cleared in court, that it's in the sea of forgiveness and never did it in the first place. I'll tell you, when He begin to bring these things to us and it's preached to us and we catch it by revelation, it's the renewing of the mind. Can you say amen? And it's a release from the guilt. The bride has been given her standing. Can you say amen? The bride has been given her standing by a prophet's word coming from God. Amen. Perfect, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Never did it in the first place. She lives under the power of the word spoken by a prophet. And if you'll watch, you'll see God giving His word to tell us where we're going. No other people has been blessed to see this way. Just before adoption was preached, Brother Branham goes beyond the curtain of time. Why is that? Why, before He preaches a series on adoption, God takes him beyond the curtain of time? Why? God did that for us.
Amen.
That this is not going to be some intellectual exercise to just become more like Jesus. He's going to actually take a prophet beyond the curtain of time and come back and tell us what's on the other side. What other people has been able to see it that way? That brings a power in our lives. Can you say amen? It's not just some intellectual exercise. He told us where we're going. And He went there and He come back and told us our future. Where this is going to end up. That power is in knowing our future. And we know it like no other people. He commented, He says, one day when I was weary. In rising of the sun, one day when I was weary. And I know I'm hurrying now. So you hurry with me, okay? The boss is standing up back there, so I know I've got to hurry along. Chief Whitehair is what I call him. He said, boy, you better go ahead. You're 50 years old. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you better hurry up and do it. You're getting old. And there that morning, the quickening power came and He let me look over the curtain. And I seen all of you over there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. This is not some intellectual exercise. God took His prophet there for a reason. Praise the Lord. All that you ever loved, all that love you, there, you give it to you. See, I see them all over there like that. What was it? Quickening power. Praise the Lord. Who is this Melchizedek? Revealing our theophanies. He says it, and who is this? And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. The body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest that you're going in a rapture.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit in your life tonight. He says that's the earnest. So knowing that, you know where you're going. There's power in your life.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. I got to skip some of this. Soon after, He preaches in Future Home. And He uses the scripture, He will make all things new. We're under the same process as the earth was. Can you say amen? Power to completely wash away all former things. And that power that comes on the earth is the same power that's in our life to wash away all former things. And all things are made new. Praise the Lord. Comes to the power of transformation. As I read the scripture, the renewing of the mind. That's it. Our minds come under the power to change us. Our minds come under a power if we'll submit and we'll be humble, then God can transform us by the renewing of our mind. He comes to invisible union. Talks about that woman having another husband. As long as she has another husband, she cannot be married to another. There's a power over that woman's life when she's married to him that she can't be married to another. But if that old husband is dead, she's released from that power. And she's free to marry. Praise the Lord. He's speaking about our lives. He's speaking about the power of that past over our lives, that we can't be fully married to Christ. But when that old husband is dead, we're fully released. All the past is gone. believe Invisible U is God's answer to sons of God. That you no longer live under the power of your past, but this is your standing with God. Not your state, but your standing. How powerful is that? That you've already been cleared and sinless before God. How powerful is that? And then rapture. And then things that are to be. He's given the bride the power through the word of God. And he's telling of her destiny. You say, praise the Lord. It's not just our wrong past that we move on. I'm almost done. It's not just our wrong past that we move from and the sins from our past. Sometimes there's influences to get us to live in the glory days of the past, of what God did in the past. That's not the right influence. Can you say amen? Any influence in our ranks that points back to the days of the prophet, and only that, is not a good influence. Someone said that the only thing Joshua was supposed to do is just to point the people to Moses. That was not the only commission of Joshua. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That was not the only thing Joshua did. And so something that looks to the past like that is not going to bring the people into their inheritance. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It wasn't the Moses commission that brought this. This has already been said. It wasn't the Moses commission that brought the people into their land. Moses, as a man, never brought the people into the promised land. So we don't point back to Moses as a man as being the one that would now lead us into the promised land. But the word that came through Moses, the word that came through the prophet. It's an important distinction. Can you say amen? Especially in these times. It's the word that we're holding on to. But under the Joshua commission, the Holy Ghost, through the fivefold ministry, taking that same word and positionally placing people within their promised land. Not looking back, can you say amen?
Amen.
Not looking back, but looking forward to what God's doing. And I believe these next quotes, I believe they're very inspiring. I've just really enjoyed them. In Shalom, he says, now today as we face a new year, I want to think of not like the past, but I want to look to the future. See, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are in the past, I press toward the mark, see, of the high calling. And as it's expressed, like looking back through the mirror of a car, we are looking what we have passed when we're looking in the rearview mirror. Now, we're not trying to place the message today as looking through a rearview mirror. Notice how he words that. We're not trying to place the message today in looking through a rearview mirror. We're not trying to place the message today as looking through a rearview mirror. It would take too long. See, the things that the Lord has did, and you all are acquainted with the great things that our Lord has been doing. In some of the mightiest things that I've ever seen in my life, he just passing in the last few months. But now we are thankful for what has been, but now we're looking forward. We're looking where we're headed for and into this 1964. Brother Brown teaching us, that's the way we approach life. That's the way we approach it as sons of God. They were never continued dwelling on what God did in the past, what he did even last week, but looking forward to what he's going to do this week. That's the way we're to live. I like this one too. I added it in 1959. Luther walked in one light. Wesley walked in another. Wesley walked in one light, Pentecost walked in another. But we're walking on higher than that today. And if there's another generation, it'll go beyond us. Don't stifle this thing. Don't hold this thing to just what happened just even in 1963. I don't want to just hear what God did in 1963. But I want to hear what he's doing now. And I'm under expectation of what this word's going to do in my life in the coming days. Can you say amen? That's how he wants us to live. Isn't that wonderful? If we have another generation, it'll go beyond us. That's what I'm praying for. God, raise the ministry up that can take the bride even further than what we've taken. Brother Eugene Braun said that one time to me. He said, I'm training these young men and I'm praying for these young men that they'll come up in the church and take the people further than what I've taken them.
Yes.
Now, I'm just honest, I've never heard a minister say that. I've never heard, usually it's a struggle sometimes to who's going to stay in position long enough and all these other things. But for a minister to humbly say, I'm just praying for these young men. I've brought it to a certain place, but I'm praying that they'll take them even further.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's how God works.
Amen.
That's how God works. And if we have another generation, it'll go beyond us. That's the kind of Holy Ghost we're under. That's the kind of power we're under. Doesn't stay in the present. Doesn't go in the past. It doesn't dwell on that. It keeps us moving forward. Brothers, how many wants to move forward?
Amen.
I say if the book's been open to us and we've heard the message the way we've heard it this weekend, I think we ought to get a hold of it and pursue it.
Amen.
I think we ought to take a hold of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How God handles the past. Remember I said He pursued you without the past in mind? I know you're getting tired, so just give me 5 minutes and I'll be done. How God handles the past and how He looks at you is how we should handle the past. How God handles the past and how He pursued you, that's how we should handle it in pursuing Him. Forgetting those things which are behind. This one thing that I do. Can we do it, brothers? This one thing that I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. I thought of the example, and I thought to close with this. And Barry, I do not like doing these sessions. I just don't like it. I feel restrained. Makes me nervous. Praise the Lord.
Amen, brother.
You know, in the Bible, there's many examples of this, but Gideon is probably the greatest example. Because when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, the angel of the Lord was going to tell him his destiny.
All right.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And that's the only thing he wanted to tell Gideon.
That's right.
Came to him personally, like he has this weekend to many of us.
Amen.
And I believe that angel came. I believe that he was looking in one place, looking at Gideon through one set of eyes, and that's through the eyes of the book of God.
Amen.
The Lamb's Book of Life.
Beautiful.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And he looks in there and he's reading and he says, he finds Gideon and it says, Gideon, mighty man of valor. And Gideon is hiding from the Midianites, hiding the wine press.
Think of it.
Shaking in his boots, scared to death.
Right.
And the angel's looking at Gideon, and he's looking at the book of life, looks at Gideon and says, something's wrong here. Something's not right.
That's good.
So when he comes, he speaks to Gideon. Gideon, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor.
Hallelujah.
Gideon's going, you have the wrong Gideon. Would you quiet down? Don't you know what's happened here? Don't you know we're hiding from the Midianites?
Right.
That's Gideon. But it wasn't Gideon according to the word.
Amen.
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 Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, stand up, brother.
Amen.
Thank you. Gideon, sit down, brother. I'm not done with my story here. He's reading from the book of life. You know the story. First thing he says, you must have the wrong person. Well, first thing he says, if God's, where is God at?
Right.
And we do appreciate that.
Sure.
That he had that. He says, if God is among us, then why is God forsaken us here?
Right.
It's a legitimate question.
Sure.
But what he didn't realize is that the God that he was looking for was going to be working through him.
Amen.
We like to put it off, you know. We like to say, I want God. I want revival in the church. I want the reality of God, but I don't know. I want it to be through somebody else. It's a personalized thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This is not about the prophet anymore. It's not about just the pastors anymore. But every member of the bride of Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
sons of God finding your place.
Amen.
Comes and reads that to him. And so then after that, he says, I'm from a poor family. So it was his finances that he gave an excuse for. Next, he says, don't you know that I'm the least of all my family members, my brothers? So he's got complexes.
Sure.
He's got financial troubles. He's got complexes. And so he starts to use all this stuff up against the book of life.
Think of it. Come on now.
What's he doing? He's living in his past.
Right.
He's judging himself from the former picture of who Gideon is. And it's all true in the sense that it's all real. He's poor. He's got financial troubles. Some of you might have them here tonight. He's got financial. He's got huge complexes. He feels like the least one, least likely to succeed in his family. It's real to him.
Sure.
But it's not true according to the Word of God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
So I love it. You read the Bible. I love it. Because he comes back with those excuses about how poor he is and about his at least, and it's not me, it can't be me. And God answers him back. He doesn't have a pity party with him. He doesn't
right.
even address what he says.
Right. Hallelujah. Amen.
He goes back to the Word.
Glory.
Amen.
God's only interested in one thing.
Amen, brother.
Who you are from the foundation of the world and getting you to that destiny.
Hallelujah.
He's not going to have a pity party with you and a depression party with you and you get it all underneath and, you know, agree with you. No. That angel of God speaking to your life is going to be pulling from one source.
Yep.
Amen.
That's the Word of God. Amen. Lamb's Book of Life. And then later on, even when God says, he said, okay, I'll do it. He said, but I want a sign. I want a sign. Later on, after God gives him a sign, God in his grace, he says, all right, you know, I'll go ahead and do that. Whatever you need. Gives him a sign.
Right.
Then later on, he asks for a fleece.
Come on. Yes, he did.
And then he asks for another fleece.
Uh-huh.
This guy's got a problem. This guy's got serious issues. You have an angel of the Lord reading from the book of life, giving you who you are. And he keeps bringing this stuff up.
Yeah.
So he's got his past, his complexes, and now he's got a belief system because something had to teach him that before I believe anything, I need a sign first. Where did that come from?
Come on now.
Before I step out on this, I need a sign. Where did that belief system come from? Under this circumstance, God did not want him to ask for a sign. God did not want him to ask for a fleece.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I don't know what you are about fleeces here, but that's really the only place in the Bible we pull from. I don't agree with him too much. Brother Brown mentioned him a couple of places, so I respect that because he put out a fleece. He says there's so many in the service tonight or whatever, and that's all fine. But you see, in this situation where we have fleeces, God never told him to do that. He did that on his own.
Right.
Right.
So it came from some former belief and understanding. And when you're talking about the angel of God reading from the book of life who you are,
hallelujah,
God did not need
hallelujah
any of his complexes, any of his excuses, any of his financial troubles to keep him from it, any of his past, and any of his former beliefs of what God's supposed to do.
Right.
He needed Gideon. You know what he should have done? As soon as he read that, he should have rose to his feet and said, whatever the word says I am, I am. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And I just say to you as close this tonight, you excuse me for, I hope I didn't offend anybody, anything I said, but I just want to say to you, I truly believe, when I read that this afternoon in the room, I truly believe we've had God speaking to us in these meetings.
Amen.
And it's been pulling from one source for your life, your destiny, from the book of life. He's been over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
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 And so that's what we've been hearing from. And so I tell you in the name of the Lord, listen, let's not be like Gideon. Let's not bring excuses. Let's rise and say, whatever his word said, my destiny is, that's where I'm going, and that's what I want to do.
Amen.
Let me do this one thing. Let me forget those things which are behind.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow after that service, when I get in that car or get on that plane and head back home, brothers, can we approach it a different way?
Amen. Amen.
Can we approach it that God actually gives us permission to completely, if you've got everything under the blood of Jesus Christ, God gives us permission to live the next day, not even thinking of anything from the past,
Hallelujah.
But approach life only thinking about what He's going to do in the future.
Amen.
With my family, with my wife, with everything I'm approaching now, I'm not borrowing anything from the past.
Right.
Can amen. You say amen, brothers? Amen. Not one thing comes from the past. And I believe that means more victory in our lives.
Amen.
When we can live that way. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let's stand and sing together. Appreciate your time. Praise the Lord. The power of our past. The power of our future.
Amen.
God bringing us in that transition to leave all that behind us.
Hallelujah.
How many want to press toward the mark of the high
amen.
Calling in Christ? It's attainable to us, friends.
Yes, sir.
The book of life is open to us. It's here right before
glory
us. We can pursue it. Can you say amen? Come
amen.
On, Gideon. Sing that song with me. Key of F, I think it is. I've been changed. You're Gideon. I've been changed.
Healed. Free. Delivered, I found joy, peace, grace, and favor. And right now is the moment. Today is the day. I've been changed. I've been changed and I have waited. I've waited for this moment to come. And I won't let it pass me by. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me. Oh, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me. I've been changed. I've been changed. Oh, I've been changed. I found joy, peace, grace, and favor, Lord. And right now is the moment. Today is the day. I've been changed. I've been changed, and I have waited for this moment to come, and I won't let it pass me by. So we say, I won't go back, I can't go back to the way it used to be, before your presence came and changed. No, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence. Oh, sing it again. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. His mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Sing it one more time. God's mercy rewrote my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, His mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, His mercy
time. More that I surrender, mighter my Lord. More that I release my cares, more He takes control. More that I can humble myself, every day I live, Lord, I love You more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's one brother in this room that we ought to be praying for. Brother Jason Watkins. Take it home tomorrow and just wrap things up. What a time. What a time. You'll need weeks, you know, just to kind of go back over to absorb it all. But, you know, it's not about how much you can retain. It's about how much that you let Him quicken in your heart and live in your everyday life. Because we're all going to be tested Monday in what we said amen to on Saturday. And so, therefore, we need that help of the Holy Spirit that only He can give to help us live the standard that's been raised this weekend. Be it unto me according to Thy word. Let's sing that this evening here, because that's our prayer. And you know, when the angel said the things he did to Mary, there was really little that Mary could do. She didn't ask for this. She didn't choose this. And neither could she produce this. So she just had to say, be it unto me.
Amen.
And you know what? All of these things that have been said about the bride of Christ and the real image of Christ in us, we didn't ask for it. You can't produce that. You've got to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit produce
Amen.
That in us. He's bringing you to a place today. Be it unto me
According to your promises, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me.
Heavenly Father, we rest in the working of the Holy Spirit, Lord. It's already been said, Lord, and one of our great generals of our time said that the duty is ours, but the consequences are God's. So, Lord, our duty is to surrender, to lay down and get out of the way, Lord, and believe what has been said about us. But, Lord, how you fulfill your word in us, Lord, that's the working of the Holy Spirit. It's your design, it's your plan, Lord. And we believe it, we trust it, and, Lord, we just ask that you would fulfill it in our hearts and lives. Father, I pray for every man that's here tonight, that, Lord, you would just take these words and just plant them in our hearts deep, Lord, that they might put down deep roots and we might become all you have predestinated us to become. Father, we love you and we thank you, O God, because you care for us, you knew us, and you will lose none of us. Father, bless our evening now, I pray. And we can't help but think of our families, our wives, our children and our grandchildren, Lord, those who are close to us, and our assemblies, our churches, Lord, and the responsibilities you've given to us. Father, may we be found faithful as stewards of God and stewards of the mysteries of God in fulfilling our part in these last days. Thank you, Lord, for the word today and for all these ministers today that stepped out of the way and allowed you to speak through them to us. We often pray that you'd make the word personal and make it real, and Lord, you did. We thank you from the very first service, Lord, how special each one was. And now, Lord, we commit our evening now into your care. Bless our fellowship, Lord, I pray, and our food, our refreshment. We just thank you for how you provide so faithfully. And we want to say we love you with all of our heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And all God's men said,
amen.
Thank you, Dr. LaFontaine. Nobody can say it like Brother Paul. Let's sing a Be It Unto Me as we go tonight. We have refreshments prepared upstairs for you. You're welcome to make your way there. Tomorrow morning service at 10 o'clock. If you're in the hotel, check out before then. And God bless you. Be it unto me according to your